1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 is where we're going to be it's going to be the focus of our study this morning. And understand the point of this entire study as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians is that you will think Bible. Okay? Not to think like the world, but that you will think Bible. And I hope somewhere along the way that becomes the thought process before you even respond to any situation that arises in your life, whether it's conflict or whether it's good things or bad things and how you're going to respond to it. The idea is that you think Bible. That's the point of having a biblical worldview. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul writes to the church at Corinth saying, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, that will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, or you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today asking your blessings and your guidance, Lord, as we examine your word. Give us wisdom and understanding that we may respond to you and to your leading and to your conviction. Father, I pray your will be done through this message today, and to you be all glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Conflict resolution. Does everybody know how to resolve conflicts? Do you know how to have a conflict? Does everybody know how to have a conflict? Get married, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. There's something that you do need to know. You need to know how to resolve the conflicts. Because if you're in life, there are going to be opposing views. There are going to be problems where you are not treated fairly. You are not treated justly. How are you going to respond? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what this is all about today, right? You see, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and in the Roman Empire at that time, lawsuits were very, very common. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that much different than today. You had in that day, you had young lawyers trying to make a name for themselves. You had people who were looking to profit by any means, right, wrong, or otherwise. They saw an avenue, so they would go to the court system and sue people or companies. It is today. And the common idea, I mean, it was so prevalent in the Roman culture that they had it so that there were different levels of court, so that if you had a small matter, they had a group of people that took care of the smaller matters, and a medium and a large. They had everything covered so you could take your complaint to the court system for a resolution. And this mindset had spilled over into the church, or they brought it with them into the church, coming out of the world. And so it's like in this church, if I were to have a problem with Brother Michael and, you know, and he and I were not going to worry about working it out, we're going to go to court. I'm going to sue him, right? And that sort of thing was going on. Right? You think, that's ridiculous, Brother Doug. Absolutely, it's ridiculous. And that's what Paul tells them. As a matter of fact, verse 1, he says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous? Paul's saying there, how dare you? That's the modern day equivalent. How dare you take your disputes into the public court system for resolution? So immediately we know such thing is not acceptable within among God's people, right? But he tells us something that should give us pause to think. What do you do with these resolutions, or what do you do with these conflicts if you don't take them to court? How do you deal with them? Well, first of all, God's people need to realize who we are. You know, so often we have this beat down little attitude and some kind of a false humility of I can't do anything. I don't have anything to offer. And you know, don't ask me. I don't know. I don't have good advice. Listen, whoa. Paul says, don't you realize who you are? He says, don't you realize that you will judge the world? I'm going to say that again. Don't you realize if you are a believer, you're going to judge the world? He's talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ, of course, as we rule and reign with Christ. And understand when we talk about judging the world at that time, we're not going to back up and say, in my opinion. Every decision we make will be in complete agreement with Jesus, our King. And what's it going to be? It's going to be based on His Word. Right? So, first of all, I want you to understand, don't adopt that, oh, I'm just nobody, I don't have anything. No. If you are a child of God, and if you have a Bible, you have good counsel to give somebody who comes to you, whether it's your children, your friends, or another church member. And you say, well, yeah, Brother Doug, we're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. But that's after, you know, after we're dead and we got our glorified body and God's going to open up the top of our head and pour out all this good information into it. No, where do you get that? Huh? No. See, I think most people have this in mind that, you know, once we die, we're going to be super, super smart. That's not in there. What I'm saying is, you have everything you need right now to be the most wise counsel of anyone that would ask of you. When somebody says, I have this problem, what should I do? You're ready. You're ready. This is it. This is it. Not your opinion. Not what you think. Not how you feel. Just give them Bible. That's what you're going to do when you rule in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's not any different than today. You know, and Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power or authority over the nations. Start using what God has already given you. And when someone comes, and sometimes, I'll tell you, sometimes you may have to tell them something that they don't want to hear, but tell them anyway. You know? Tell them what God says about what they're dealing with. Something else I thought was even neater. He says, do you not know there in verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge angels? What's that going to look like? I do not know. But one day, and you understand, judge, the idea is authority, we will direct angels. That's who you are. And so you have to understand, don't have this false humility where you walk around because you're worthless on this earth. You're not. God has you here for a reason. And you have something to give to those people who are around you. You be sure you give them the judgments that God has laid down in His Word. Second thing, Paul said there in verse 6, if you have judgments pertaining to this life, why do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church? Now, why would, the question is, why would believers go to unbelievers to resolve a conflict? Now, I don't think we have any two church members at this given time who are in court against one another, right? I hope we don't. If we do, y'all come see me. We need to talk, okay? But here's what you have to understand when you go in front of the court system today. Now, I'm not going to sit here today and say there's never a reason for anyone to go to court. I will not do that, okay? But I will tell you this, there's never a reason for one believer to take another believer to court. Should not be so, right? What you do is you get you another believer within the church that has the same values that you have. And that's what Paul is saying here. Why would you go to unbelievers? These guys have no value system. You know, in verse 9 of this same chapter, I want to read that to you again. These were the people they were taking their conflicts to, right? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You're going to judge angels as believers. You're going to judge the world as a believer. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. What's he saying here? Why are you going to people that this is their set of values and asking for a decision from people who are going to give you a decision based on these values? You don't do that. If there's any way possible, you avoid that. It's because when you seek resolution from the unrighteous, you will get an unrighteous resolution. I'm kind of maybe a little prejudiced toward the court system of today. I think most, not always, but quite often it's the rules that are handed down by the courts of today are not handed down based on right or wrong, handed down based on how good your attorney is. I don't know about you, but I want to be right with God in the eyes of God. And that's Paul's point here. You know, I look at people today who, for example, file for divorce. And I want to tell them, don't you know you're going before these people? And the judgment you're going to receive is not going to be a good judgment. It's going to hurt you. So before you get to that divorce thing, come and see me. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Before you decide, that's it, I quit, I want a divorce, come see me. I'll tell you beforehand what I'm going to give you. God hates divorce, don't do it. You're going to mess up your life, your kids' life, and the lives of everyone around you. Don't do it. But Brother Doug, I want, that doesn't matter what you want. It matters what the Word of God says. And if you get everything you want, I've discovered when I get everything that, well, I've discovered that oftentimes the things I want are not the things that are best for me. Right? You see, why would we seek our judgments or counsels from an unrighteous source when there are righteous sources surrounding us? Paul said in verse 5, he said, is there not a wise man among you? Is there not a wise man among you? Actually, he said, I say this to your shame. This is not good. Because you should have, you should be surrounded with people that have great wisdom via the Word of God. Do you realize there is not a dispute that can't be settled within a church? There's not a dispute within a church that cannot be settled within a church. And I'm going to go step out a little farther. If you have a dispute with a church member of Victory, don't go discuss it with someone that's not in the Victory family. Because you're going to bring shame upon Victory. And you're also going to affect someone's attitude toward the person that you're talking about. And every time they see that person, they're going to think, yep, I know what you did. I know what you're guilty of. So, number one, if you have a dispute in the church, keep it in the church. Right? And when you do, I'm going to give everybody here something that will make you an expert counselor. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. If I make you an expert counselor today, I expect you to use it. Is that reasonable? Okay. When you're approached by someone with a problem, the first thing you tell them is, let's look and see what the Bible says about that. Don't give them your opinion. Don't give them your feelings. Don't give them what you think. Just ask them or tell them, let's look and see, in a loving manner, let's look and see what the Bible says about that. So if someone comes to you with, they have a problem, a dispute with a brother, and said, oh, he made me so angry, I just don't know if I can control myself. Said, okay, calm down, let's see what the Bible says about that. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Then I'm going to ask you, have you told him how angry you are at him or her? Have you talked to him about it? When they say, well, no. I'm going to say, go. This counseling session is done. Go. Well, no, I'm not going to talk to him. Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, are you a believer? Well, yes, I'm a believer. Do you believe the Bible is right? Well, yes, I believe it's right. The Bible says you go talk to him. It doesn't give you a plan B. It doesn't give you an option of, well, no, I'd just rather carry this grudge for the next 10 years so that I can frown at him every time I see him walking into church. No! The Bible is a wonderful book of judgment. When I say judgment, I'm talking about decision making, telling us what we should do and what we should not do. All we've got to do is say, okay, that's what the Word of God says, so it must be correct. Therefore, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Right? That has to be our attitude. If they say, no, I won't go talk to him, be blunt enough, say, I love you, but you need to repent. Because see, people are not interested really today in being right or wrong with God. They're interested in affirmation. Well, I have a right to be angry. Well, I have a right to hold a grudge. I have a right to withhold forgiveness. No. You do not have that right. You have the right as a child of God to do what the Bible says you should do. Amen. And I want to go a step farther than that. I'm going to go out. I've started to say go out on a limb. This is not going out on a limb. This is just fact. If you do what the Bible says, you will not be sorry. Okay? You will not be. I promise you. It may be difficult. You may go through a period that's hard. But when you come out the other side, you will realize, oh, God was right. God doesn't make mistakes. You know? If people come to you for marriage advice, what are you going to tell them? Tell them to go to Ephesians chapter 5. If you're not writing this stuff down, remember it, okay? If you're not... Every marriage can be fixed in Ephesians chapter 5. Every one of them. Right? And when they come and they say, well, my wife has done this and she doesn't do that. And she say, well, okay, wait a minute. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And if you're talking to the husband here, you ask the husband, do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Well, no. Do you love your wife as Christ loved the church? Read to him Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Do you put her before yourself in all things? You see, most marriages are starting to say give and take. I'm not sure if that's... It's take all I can get. You know, it's keep score. Well, you did this 5 years ago and I remember... Come on. Come on, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as yourself. Put her in front of you. And I promise you, husband, that'll fix your marriage. In 90% of the cases, the other 10% I'm going to cover right now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Let each of you in particular love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she... What's that? I can't read that word. Respect. Respect. The Greek the Greek definition of that word is run him down. No, it's not. It means respect him. Build him up. Encourage him. Don't nag him. Don't make him... Don't belittle him. The greatest thing we need in society today is for men to be men once again. And the only way men are going to be men is when they have a good woman building them up. A good wife, I mean. Praise him. Honestly, that's what a man needs. You know, a lady needs to be pretty and needs to feel loved. And a man needs to feel like a man. Make him feel like a man. Respect him. Every day. And when that wife comes and says, my husband doesn't listen to me. Ask her, do you respect him? Everything you say, everything you do, does it show your deep respect for him? And when they say, well, and they say, okay, problem fixed. If husbands will love their wives and wives respect their husbands, boy, it's going to be a good marriage. I promise you, God's right. Spend a little more time than I intended to there, but anyway. See, here's what you have to understand. The counselor or the judge, if you will, that's hearing the conflict. You have to believe that the Bible is the right answer. I'm going to say that again. If you're judging or counseling with somebody as another believer, before you give them anything, you have to believe that the Bible is the right answer. And you do not have to make excuse. You do not have to pat them and say, well, nobody's perfect. No, just tell them what the Bible says and say, do it. Pretty easy. And this is the other big one. If you're being counseled, if you're seeking advice or resolution from another believer to help you resolve a conflict, you have to be willing to accept what the Bible says as the right answer. Okay? I have spent hours and hours in counseling people, and probably every staff member here has done the same. And I could resolve those hours in about 2 minutes if they would just listen to what the Bible says. Whether it's a marriage issue or whether it's a conflict issue of two believers who just can't seem to get along, you, when you hear what the Bible says, you've got to take it to heart. Or, beloved, you are a, I love you, but you're a hypocrite. The whole Bible applies to you, and it applies to me. There are parts in it that I do not care for. I may not. No, I love the Word of God. But sometimes there are parts in it that's hard, and I may not want to do. Okay? But as a believer, it is my responsibility to do it. Amen? Can we agree? Verses 7 and 8. Paul tells them, you're a failure. Why are you, you know, why is it this way? Then in verse, the middle of verse 7, it says, why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? See, this is the part that most Americans have real trouble with. Because we are Americans. We have our rights. Right? And we have the right to justice all the time. No. No. As a believer, you've got to know how to respond to conflict inside the church and outside the church. And when there's something that you can't resolve, you've got to be willing to accept it and move on. I've known people who've carried grudges for 30, 40, 50 years. And I think, how sad and how miserable is that? Let's see what the Word of God says, okay? Turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I don't think I got the slides up there for this, but I want to read something to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. In verse 38, he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now that's what we want to hear, right? As a matter of fact, I've heard people say that over and over. You know, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, you didn't finish it. Jesus said in verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Man, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? When someone abuses you, give them another chance to abuse you again and again and again. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Wait a minute, if somebody's going to sue me, am I going to give them what they ask for? It's what it says. Right? And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Just gets better and better, doesn't it? But you don't understand. That's mine. Wait a minute. If you're a believer, it's not yours. It's God's. God gave it to you. He can take it from you at any point. And I'll tell you something else. He can give it back. Okay? He can give it back. So never look at, well, I lost this and they took this. God can take care of it. Let's go a step farther. Because it doesn't stop here. After somebody hits you two or three times in the cheek and you offered them a new cheek, you know, I'm ready to carry a grudge for that rascal, right? But look at verse 43. You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Here's where it gets interesting. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you should be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. What is he saying? Act like Jesus. Act like Jesus. Sometimes I know it's hard. But here's what we have to understand. You will not be able to right every wrong that's been or being or will be done to you. And there are some people who do not care, especially the world. So you've got to be able to say, I trust Jesus. I trust God to take care of it. You can't carry it. You can't hold that grudge for 30 years. No. You've got to trust God. Right? One more scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. When you can't do anything about it, give it to God and let Him be the judge. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourself. Here's where we get in trouble. Do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Okay? When it says give place to wrath, the wrath that it's talking about is God's wrath. When there's nothing you can do about it, and you back up and you say, Lord, I give it to you, I'm going to get out of the way. I'm not going to hate. I'm not going to talk bitterly about. I'm not going to, Lord, I give it to you, and I trust you to handle it as you see fit. I want to tell you something. God's a lot better at handling the abuse of His children than you are. You know, one thing I have discovered. Parents take care of their children. And when someone's child is abused, look out. Especially mama. Boy, mamas will get you. We're not called children of God for nothing. God loves you even more than you love your own children. He knows what you need, and He knows how to put in place what's needed around you. But you got to trust Him. I think that's a hard part sometimes. When we just wash our hands of it and say, Lord, I trust you. Take care of it the way you see fit. You see, the problem that we have is, it says, give place to wrath. It's saying, get out of the way and let God's wrath take over. Right? Let God do His thing. So understand, you know, the more you're involved, the more you're trying to get revenge, the more you're trying to straighten Him out, you're getting in God's way. Just back up and let God be God. He'll take care of it. He's our heavenly Father. And if He loved you enough to give His only Son to die so that you could have eternal life, if He loved you that much, and He did, He still loves you today, and He'll do what's best for you. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me just share this with you. I'm not going to tell you being a Christian's always easy and it's all flowers and roses, and because it's not. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride. Sometimes we have to cover our mouth, so that we don't say something we shouldn't say. Sometimes we have to do things we don't really want to do. But I want to tell you the joy of all that. The joy of all of that is that no matter what you're doing, what you're facing, what you're having to go through, that we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, who has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And when we can't go anymore, He carries us. When we need strength, He provides. That's my Savior. And the most impressive part is, when this life is done, there's a place created, or a place that He has made for me, eternal in the heavens. Not because I'm such a good person or because I'm a preacher. I'm not. I'm a sinner like you are. But I've been saved by the grace of Jesus, who is good. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I want to ask you to come. To come. And will you receive Jesus? And if you're here today and you've been dealing with conflict and you've not been dealing with it scripturally, you know, maybe you're at that point, I just got to give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Let it go. If you need to come to this altar and pray, you come. If you need to come and talk to me or other staff members here, you come. But you do, as the Holy Spirit of God leads you. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the wisdom that's there. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for us to close our mouth. Sometimes it's hard for us to do things we don't want to do. But Lord, we know You are always right. And so give us the wisdom before we respond to the events of life to look into Your Word. Give us the wisdom not to seek the counsel of an ungodly world, but rather to seek wise counsel from the brethren. Give us wisdom, Lord, that the answers that come from our mouth to the trials, the conflicts of life, that they be saturated in love, and they be the soft answer that turns away wrath. Now as we come to this invitation, Lord, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.